Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Shmos Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parsha Shmos. The topic of our Aliyah is Moshe finding his people. It is 15 Pesukim long, running from Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Alav to Chof Hey. We hear now at this point that Moshe grows up and he goes out to see his brothers in their suffering. And the day he goes out, he sees an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew, and he turns this way, that way. He sees there's no one around, and he hits the Egyptian and buries them, killing this individual. The next day he goes out and he sees two Hebrews fighting each other, and he says to the evil one, Lama takere echora, why are you hitting your friend? And he says, wait a second, who made you a judge over us? You can't just kill us like you killed the Egyptian. And Moshe became very scared, and he says, Achein no dahadavar, now I know the matter is known. Paro hears about this incident, and this becomes public knowledge, and wants to kill Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu runs away and goes to the land of Egypt and stays by the Be'er, by the well. At this point in time, we hear that the king of Midian, the priest of Midian, has seven daughters. They're coming to utilize the well to feed the sheep of their father, but the Ro'im come and chase them away. Moshe Rabbeinu intercedes and saves them and feeds their flocks. They then come back to Reuel, their father, and he says, why is it so fast today? Clearly it's been a repeating episode that they don't get access to the well. And they said, well, there's this Egyptian man. He saved us from the shepherds, and he gave to all of us all of our flocks. And he says to his daughters, where is he? So why don't you tell him to bring him back and, like, you know, let him have a square meal? And so that's what happens. They bring him back, and in fact Moshe ends up marrying Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, and they have a child, and he is called Gershom. He is a sojourner in a foreign land. Ki amar gera yisi beretz nachriya. During these days, we then hear that the Pharaoh dies. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min avodah. They call out and they cry out to Hashem, and their cries go arise to Hashem. Hashem hears their cries and remembers the covenant with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Okay, so this is our Aliyah. A few basic questions. And that number one is, what does it mean that when he looked out, when he went out and he saw this Egyptian beating the Hebrew, he looked this way and that way? So Rashi says he looked into the future, the past. He saw, was anybody of merit ever coming out of this individual's family? And when he saw that that was not the case, then he killed him. It is interesting that there are different ways of reading this, perhaps differently. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes a very beautiful thing. And that is he says, look, you're in an Egyptian construction site in downtown Cairo. Do you really think there's no one there? No one heard. No one could see. No one was around. What does it mean no one is around? The answer is that there was no one to take action. Nobody cared enough to do anything. As the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "B'makom she'en anashim yishtadel lios ish." When there's people, when nobody wants to be that leader, you have to be that leader. And that's what he does. He jumps in. This is the formulation of Moshe Rabbeinu becoming that leader. It is interesting to note that this is the first action Moshe Rabbeinu takes. The first words that he utters, as recorded in his conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is "Mi Anachi? Who am I?" And that's precisely the type of leaders we try to cultivate. And a leader, when asked to be a leader, they say, "Who am I to be a leader?" But when it comes down to nobody doing the job, then "Vayar Kianish," there's no one around. They do the job right away. However, it could be that there's a third way of reading this as well. And that is that perhaps this is the crisis, the identity crisis that Moshe Rabbeinu is going through. After all, he's brought up in the Egyptian palace. His mother, for all intents and purposes, is a Egyptian. He then goes out and he sees these Hebrews. He identifies with them. He knows that somehow his past is connected with them as well. And perhaps when he sees this, when it comes down to the crisis and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, now he has to decide either to act or to ignore. What is he going to do? Vayifen kol v'chor. And he looks this way and he looks that way and he says, am I Egyptian? Am I a Hebrew? He looks this way. He looks that way. Who am I? Vayar Kianish. And he realizes he's no one. He realizes he has not chosen who he is, and therefore he's a fence sitter. As a fence sitter, he really is no one, because he doesn't have a system of values. He doesn't have a direction in life. He doesn't have a mission. So many of us, when we perhaps look inside, we ask ourselves, Vayivin Kov Achor. We look this way and that way. Have we decided who we are? What is our identity? What does our life match up with that identity? And that was the decision over here. This was the critical decision moment when Moshe Rabbeinu becomes Moshe, the Hebrew, not Messias, the Egyptian as well. Now, What does it mean that the matter became known? Achein nada hadavar. So the most basic understanding, as the Bechor Shor says, most of the Rishonim point out, is because he realizes that the incident yesterday, although Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was private when he killed this Egyptian, it was not private, it was heard, and now the news is going to become public. If that's the case, he knows he's going to be a wanted man for killing an Egyptian taskmaster. That's the most basic understanding. So Sforno introduces an interesting perspective where he says he realizes that he can't kill this Jew, this Hebrew who is going to slander him, because the man screams out in public, I know that you killed the Egyptian yesterday, and so now he can't even eliminate this person as a moser, as a person handing him over to the authorities to be killed. He can't even eliminate him because it's public, so it's too late. However, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, and many of the Mefarshim say this, a very chilling thought, and that is, Achein Adah HaDavar is nothing to do with what the incident that happened yesterday about the killing of the Egyptian. It really has to do with the entire process of exile. And that what he's saying is, I now understand why these Hebrews are in exile. I now understand why they're in such a bad place. Because you know what? All they do is try to hit each other and slander each other. And when somebody tries to help them, then they slander them and they're willing to go and to report them to authority. Somebody who helped them themselves. They bite the hand that feeds them. And unfortunately, this is something which plagues the nation of Israel, the Jews, in every diaspora they go. So many of the problems are the problems of Jew on Jew. Just being mean, just being cruel for the sake of cruelty. And unfortunately, that willingness to slander on one another is one of the reasons why the exile continues. Now, another question is, why did the daughters of Yisro call him an Egyptian? They said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. So the most basic understanding is, well, he looked Egyptian. He grabbed Egyptian, he was probably wearing Egyptian clothing, and that's what he looked like at the well. Rashi says it was because of the Egyptian that he killed that got him there, meaning the Ish Mitzri is referring to the Egyptian that he killed, which now put him as a refugee as well. The Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky gives a parable to this, that let's say a person is, God forbid, bit by a snake, and he runs to the river for his foot, and then he sees a child drowning, saves the child, so the child thanks the man for saving him, but he says, no, it wasn't me, it was the snake that saved you. So really it was the Egyptian that put Moshe over here, Rabbeinu over here as well. That's what's happening over here. However, the Oznaim Latorah says that perhaps he's called an Ish Mitzri because that's what I thought of him, and he looked in the sound of the part, but he didn't protest that assessment and was punished for that. Meaning to say, really, he should have been able to, at this point in time, say, you know what, I'm not really Egyptian. I really am a Hebrew. And correct that. That's going to be the process of the finding of the identity of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Finally, one last point, just on the one, there's so many points we could learn together, but just one last point in this aliyah. And that is, this aliyah really identifies the incredible points of leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, which cultivate him to be a leader before Hashem selects him as being the leader of the nation of Israel. What do we see? What are the formative points which make that leadership known? So it's interesting that there are three incidents in which Moshe Rabbeinu gets involved in a struggle which doesn't have to do with him in our aliyah. There are three fights that he pushes himself in. In each of those fights, he could have walked away and had nothing to do with it. The first was a fight between a Hebrew and an Egyptian. And so at this point in time, he champions the cause of the Hebrew. And you may say, well, Moshe is a person who fights for his own. But then we encounter another incident, and that is where it's Hebrew versus Hebrew. Now, it's not fighting for your own, because in this case, both of them are his own. So why should he choose to one over the other? Why should he make choices about sides? So you see that he doesn't like injustice when at least Hebrews are fighting. But then you move on to the next part of it, and you see that he enters into a fight between Midianites, Midianites fighting among themselves, no Hebrews involved, and still he jumps in, which shows you that it's not about standing up for his own, it's not about just Hebrews, it's about injustice. Moshe Rabbeinu is a person who wants to fix injustice in the world. That's what Dr. Nachama Leibowitz says in explaining this. These incidents, this shows you what a real leader is. He is value-driven, not situational-driven, not nepotistic. This is all about the values. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ish Emes, was a man of truth, and that's what led him to be cultivated as the leader for the nation of Israel. With this, we close the Aliyah. In the meantime, wonderful and meaningful.